As always, it's a tremendous privilege to be able to learn Torah together tonight. And this class, everyone that we're davening for Refuah Shleima Bekarov, Mirtz Hashem. So I'm just going to share my screen real quick. Okay, could everyone see the screen? Just thumbs up. Okay, excellent. Okay, so tonight I wanted to share just some thoughts on Parshas Tzav, this week's Parsha, and to fit it into Pesach, which I'm sure we're all excited about, maybe stressed a little bit about, but hopefully mostly excited about. Seder night, of course, a week from tonight. So this week's Parsha and Tzav, there's a lot of talk of the different types of korbanos. And at first glance, you know, when we're living in 2023, 5783, we may think that there's not so much relevance to the korbanos. We obviously hope that in a time very soon we'll have the Beis Hamikdash again, we'll have the ability to bring korbanos, but we often read these parshios more with like a future mindset, that like one day these things will be relevant. But one thing that I want to just try to highlight tonight is that there are really aspects of every korban that have modern day practicality and even halachas that have to do with them. We're not going to go through all of that, but at least we'll focus on one of them, which is the Korban Toda, which is the Thanksgiving offering. So in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, the first source, Imha Al Toda Yakrivenu, so if you bring a Korban Toda, a Thanksgiving offering, which we'll get to soon, what the certain circumstances were that would require a Thanksgiving offering, V'kriv Al Zevach HaToda, so this wasn't like any other Korban, where it was primarily just bringing an animal. There was a lot of flour, there was a lot of calories involved in this korban. It says, Ve'akriv al zevach atoda chalos matzos belulos shaman. So there were matzos, a number of matzos. We'll see Rashi soon, who quotes the Gemara, how many matzos. Rekike matzos, so not just loaves of matzah, but wafers of matzah. Mishuchim ba'shemen, dipped in oil. Besolas merbeches chalos belulos ba'shemen. So it's definitely not the healthiest type of bread. A lot of oil involved. Al chalos lechem chametz yakriv korbano. But not only was it matzah, there was also chametz involved. So already we're sniffing some connection already with the parsha before Pesach and Pesach. It's talking about chametz and matzah. So the first thing that stands out about the korban toda is that there was a lot of flour, there was a lot of bread, both matzah and challah, that was brought as part of this toda offering. The other unique aspect of the korban is, if you jump a few psukim, pasuk tesvav, it says, "Ubesar zevach toda shlamav biyom korbano yeachel lo yaniach mimenu ad boker." So basically, what it's saying is that this whole korban, the meat and the bread and the matzah, it all had to be eaten in one day. You couldn't leave anything over to the next morning. Most korbanos shlamim, which this was a korban shlamim, most of them you had 2 days to eat. This one you only had one day. And how much bread was it? So Rashi tells us, based on the Gemara Menachos Ayin Vav in Source Beis, Arba minei lechem, there were four types of bread, chalos rekikin revucha, shloshe minei matzah, uksiva chalos lechem chametz, v'chom min v'min, Eser chalos. So without going through all the details of how much bread there was and how they made the bread, but there were really 40 loaves of bread. There were 10 loaves of chametz, and there were 30 loaves of matzah, or matzah loaves or wafers. So altogether, 40 loaves of chametz and matzah. So that's a lot to eat. And it's especially a lot to eat in how much time? In one day, right? So the two things that were unique about the Toda, number one, it was all this bread and matzah, and number two, it had to be eaten all in one day. So the Netziv, Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Velazhen Yeshiva, so he has a commentary on the Torah called Hameg Davar, and he says a beautiful idea about why the Toda specifically had all this extra bread and matzah with it, and why it had to be eaten with one day. So if you look at Source Gimel, he says, V'ha'inyan, the reason for this, D'tachlis toda shaba al hanes, hu kedei l'saper chaste Hashem shagama alav. Because the whole reason, as we're going to get to soon, The whole reason why a person brought a korban todah was to show gratitude for a nes, for some miracle that they feel Hashem did for them. So the point of it was not just for the person themselves to bring the korban, but they wanted to be in the mesaper to others. They wanted to spread the word of how amazing this miracle was. And therefore, there was so much extra bread involved, and there was less time to eat it, so that you would have a lot of people coming to this one seuda, b'yom hakrava, b'yusipor hanes l'frei rov anashim. So the Netziv says something amazing. He says the reason why you had to have so much bread, so much food, and it had to be within one day, was because it would require the person bringing the Korban Todah to invite all their friends. And that it wouldn't just be this individual private thinking of Hashem, but it would be what we call a pirsum hanes. It would be an opportunity to have what really nowadays we would call a sudas hodah, a meal of thanks, where, you know, and I'm sure many of us have either had our own sudas hodah, or maybe we've been to sudas hodah, where someone feels so grateful to Hashem and wants to celebrate and wants to tell everyone about it. And that's really the whole concept of sudas hodah is really based on this korban todah, that it was built into the korban that we had to spread the word. Some of the rabbis in the later in the Achronim period actually say that we have a concept that kol detikin derabanan kein deraisa tikun, which is a very interesting concept to talk about in its own shir, that when the rabbis came along and made a takana or made a mitzvah, it was always based on something. It was modeled after some biblical din, some din deraisa. So some of the Achronim say that when the rabbis came along and they said that, you know what, you should really make a sudas hodah when something amazing happens. And not only that, but you should actually say a bracha, which we're about to get to. You should say a berachas hagomel when something amazing happens to you. That really, that din derabanan maybe is based on this din deraisa, this biblical commandment of bringing a korban todah. So with that as a segue, Rashi tells us, what are the requirements, what are the criteria, that would require someone to bring a korban todah? Definitely a person could bring one whenever they wanted to. Whenever they felt this sense of gratitude, Hashem saved them from something, Hashem did a miracle for them, that was enough of a reason for them to bring a korban todah. But there were certain examples that a person was actually required. So Rashi quotes the Gemara, which I'm going to actually just read straight from the Gemara in Brachos instead of reading it from Rashi. The Gemara in Brachos, Nun Dalet Amud Beis, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Arba Tzrichim Lahodos. There are four that are required to give Hodah. And as I was alluding to before, this means that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they would be required to give a Korban Todah. Nowadays, they would be required to say a Berchas HaGomel, which again, many of us on this call, on the Zoom might have, said a Berchas HaGomel. We may have heard people say a Berchas HaGomel. Berchas HaGomel is when a person says a bracha, as we're going to see, it should be ideally in front of a minyan, to thank Hashem in public for something that happened to them. So what are the four scenarios? So Arba Tzrichim Lahodos, Yordei Hayam, someone that goes down in the water, but really it means someone that passes over the water. Holchei Midbaro, someone that travels over the desert or through the desert. Mishayachola the Nisrape, someone that was significantly ill and then became healed. Umishayachavash Besa Surim Biyatza, and someone that was in prison, was in jail, and then was released. Okay, so we have water, desert, sickness, and freed from prison. So what's this based on? So the Gemara goes on to say it's really all based on psukim from one parak of Tehillim. So in parak Kuf Zayin in Tehillim, it starts off in Source Vav. You can see the first pasuk of that parak is Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki La'olam Chasto. There are actually a number of prakim of Tehillim that start with that. This is one of the prakim that starts Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. And in this long chapter of Tehillim, the Gemara goes on to show how it alludes to each of these four scenarios. It alludes to the water, the desert, someone being sick, and someone being freed from prison. So I'm just going to go through this relatively quickly because it's a bit technical, but I just want to show how the psukim really highlight each of these four things. So the Gemara says, Yorde Hayaminal, and where do we know that a person has to thank Hashem because of crossing the water? Tiksib Yorde Hayam, Ba'anios Himaro Maise Hashem. Those that cross over in boats, so they see the greatness of Hashem. Ba'omer Bayamid Ruach Sa'ara Yalu Shemaim Yede Tahomos, because there is a strong wind that comes from Shemayim, Yachogu V'yano Kashikor, it's rocking the boat. This is all in this paragraph of Tehillim. V'omer v'yitzakol Hashem v'tzar lahem v'mtzukoseyem yotziyem. So the ship is rocking and it's very scary, and they call out to Hashem, and Hashem answers them, Yakim sa'ara l'dmama, the whirlwind becomes calm, v'yismichu ki yishoku, everyone becomes happy. So because the pasuk really spells out how a person could be so scared when they're crossing this tumultuous water, and then they thank Hashem afterwards, so that's a proof that we have to thank Hashem for crossing the water. Then you go on in this same parak of Tehillim, Soras Ches, Holchei Midbaros Menalon. Where do we know that you have to say it when you cross a desert? Tichsev, Tauba Midbar B'Yishimon, Derech Im Oshav Lo Matzo, Vayitzaku Al Hashem. They were wandering in the desert. They called out to Hashem. Hashem took them in the right path to get them through the desert. Yodu l'Hashem chasto. Okay, again, clearly talking about going through a desert. Number three, where do we see that someone who's sick? Misha chala b'nisrabe, d'chsiv avilim miderech pisham, u'me'avonoseihem yis'anu. A person, Nebuch, will suffer, will be afflicted because of sins, chas v'shalom. They won't be able to enjoy food. Again, that they call out to Hashem, Hashem saves them. Thank you, Hashem. And then finally, coming out of prison, sitting in darkness, because they went against Hashem. But even though they were sitting in darkness, they called out to Hashem. Hashem takes them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Okay, so it could be where some of us are familiar with this parak Kuf Zayin. So Kuf Zayin goes through these four things, and because these four are in the parak of Hodel Hashem Kito Kilom Chasto, these are the four that you have to bring a korban toda for. These are the four that you have to say hagomel. What is the bracha of hagomel? So Gemara brachos nindal and mabez my mavarech. What do you actually have to say? Amar Rabbi Yehuda barach gomel chasadim tovim. So we say a little bit of a longer version of it, but essentially what we say is we say thank you to Hashem who does acts of kindness. And then Abaye throws in one of the great Amoraim says v'tzarech leodia kameyasara, that you should actually do it in front of a quorum of ten people. Simple understanding is that it has to be 10 men, a minion, but there definitely are some opinions that say it could even be 10 women if it's a woman saying hagomel, because that's also a piercing anais, that's also publicizing the miracle. Dichsiv v'yiromamuhu b'kal am, because the pasuk goes on to say that you should exalt Hashem b'kal am, with a congregation. So you should not just keep it to yourself. Just like we were saying before with the Korban Toda, it's not enough just to say Hagomel behind closed doors by yourself. If something amazing happens to you, especially one of these four things, which is a requirement, so it's not just to do it by yourself, but the idea is to be mefarsim it. And sometimes there's actually psychological studies that really show this, that it not just makes other people appreciate Hashem when you publicize a miracle, but it actually helps the person themselves internalize the gratefulness. When you publicize gratefulness, then you actually end up feeling more grateful. It's a kind of a cool psychological phenomena. How that works? That when you express gratefulness to others, it actually could make you feel more grateful as well. So I think that's one of the main lessons from the Korban Toda and from Berachas Hagomel. But the question that I wanted to kind of focus the end of the shiur on is a practical halacha question that we're going to use to hopefully fit into Pesach and send us off with hopefully a nice message going into the Seder. So there are a lot of halacha questions nowadays that come up with Berachas Hagomel. But one of the more common questions that rabbis get asked is, if a person goes over the water in an airplane, do they have to say Berachas Hagomel? So as we said before, one of the four criteria for saying Hagomel based on the Psukim was going over the Yam, going over a large body of water. So I don't know what the custom of everyone on the Zoom call is, but a lot of people say the bracha of Hagomel every time they go over a body of water, even if it's on an airplane. And there's some poskim, there's some halachic authorities that say, yeah, because the pasuk says that we have to thank Hashem for going over the water. So anytime you go over the water, you have to say Hagomel, the same way you would have to bring a Korban Todah. But what's the argument against that? So the argument against that, as you can probably imagine, is that when we looked at the psukim that spoke about why you have to say a thank you when you go over the water, it's because the water was shaking the ship and the person felt like they were in such danger, and then they called out to Hashem and Hashem saved them. So one could argue that even though there are still plenty of people that get nervous about going on planes, but an airplane ride is actually not so dangerous. So going over water on an airplane perhaps wouldn't warrant a Berachas Hagomel. So that's why nowadays you really have both opinions on whether you would say a bracha of Hagomel after you go over a body of water without it being a tumultuous boat ride the way that the pasuk was talking about. But there's a very interesting shita, there's an opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein that I wanted to share with you that I think brings out what perhaps Berachas Hagomel is really about that we haven't highlighted yet. So in Source Yud Beis, first that is quoted the Shulchan Aruch says that Arba and Tzricha Melhodos, that there are four that are required to say Berachas Hagomel, and he lists our four that we keep talking about. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside just for the sake of time, but Rav Moshe Feinstein is dealing with the question that we're trying to figure out. Do you say a Berachas Hagomel when you go over water? Do you say that if you go over the water, no matter what, even if it's safe, even if it's on an airplane, you say the bracha no matter what? Or do you say that no, you don't say Hagomel because you don't feel the actual danger? So Rav Moshe Feinstein actually says that an airplane, whether or not it's over water, you should have to say Hagomel. Because he says an airplane is just like a boat. And why do you have to say a bracha of Hagomel on a boat after going over the water on a ship or a boat? It's because essentially or inherently a person can't survive for that much time over water. If a person is traveling over a large body of water, the only way to do that naturally and safely is with a boat. So even if it's not so dangerous, just the fact that there's a boat that's taking you over this entity that otherwise would be dangerous, you can't make it across an ocean on your own without the boat. So the boat is a hatzalah. It's a way of Hashem saving you. That itself is a reason to thank Hashem. So I'll just read the last part, the last three lines. It says, "V'im kein, kol shekein be'airplane, shegarua mimayim, sha'af rega echad ein yachol lios ba'avir." But a person can't survive 1 second even. If you were just hanging in the, you know, thousands of feet above sea level, a person can't survive like that. Shavade shi yeshivaso be'airplane hu hatzala. That the sitting in an airplane itself is such a chesed. It's such a way that Hashem is saving us, kavayachal. The kevin sh'ira lefamim shemeskakal airplane. He says, and especially because sometimes, you know, there are some malfunctions in the airplane, and chas v'shalom, the airplane could just come crashing down. So what Rav Moshe is saying is a third opinion. It's not that you always say, it's not that you only say a bracha when you go on an airplane over the water, because that's what the pasuk says, that it has to be over the water. It's not that opinion. And it's also not the opinion that you never say it because an airplane is not dangerous. It's actually a third opinion that no matter what, even if you're not going over the water, you would say a bracha when you go on an airplane because it's such an amazing thing. It's such a hatzalah that Hashem enables us to fly. And if we didn't have that airplane, we would, you know, not be able to survive in the air. So not many people follow this opinion, I don't think. Not many people say a bracha every time they go over an airplane. I mean, nowadays we live in a society where it's so common to go on airplanes. It would be a lot of Berachas Hagomels. But it's an interesting shita of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And the reason why I wanted to bring it out is because I think that when it really comes down to it, what are these four scenarios have in common? Why are we saying Hagomel when, number one, we go over the water, number two, we go through the desert, number three, a person is nebuch sick and gets better, and number four, when they come out of prison. So I think if you just extend Rav Moshe a little bit, what Rav Moshe I think is really saying essentially is that when you're on an airplane, you're totally out of control. I mean, you have no control over that situation, which, by the way, is why many people get anxious going on airplanes, even though statistically it's probably more dangerous to go on a bus or to go in a car. People get more nervous about going on an airplane. And there's a number of psychological reasons given for that. But one reason is because there's a lack of control. When you're in a car, when you're closer to the ground, you feel like you're in more control of your circumstances, of your life. When you're in an airplane, you have to let go of that control. And I think that's what going over the water is also. When you're going over the water, just like Rav Moshe is saying, you're really dependent on being on that boat. If you're not in that ship, if you're not in that boat, then you really are hopeless. So you're out of control because you have to be there. You have to be in that boat. The same thing with the airplane. And I think it's the same thing with the desert. When a person is going through the desert, they can't just stop to rest. They can't just have control over where they are. They have to get through there as quickly as possible. There's no option to just, stand around. They have to get through there as quickly as possible. They don't have control of their time or of their place. And of course, Nabuch, when a person's sick, it's the same thing. A person wishes they could feel better, they could be more mobile, they could be able to do more activities, to think clearer. When a person has different type of illnesses, they're not in full control, unfortunately, and there's a frustration there because they wish they were in more control. When a person gets that refuah, the refuah snevish and the refuah saguf, that's when a person feels like they get their control back. And I think perhaps the biggest example of this is the coming out of prison. Coming out of prison doesn't always have to be this huge nace that a person got saved, that their physical life was saved, but they get control back in their life. When a person is contained, when a person is restrained to a prison cell or to a jail, so they don't have control of their life as much as they would like. And that, I think, is what the real toda that we're giving thanks to Hashem, both for the Korban toda and for the Berachas Hagomel, is really because we're thanking Hashem that you gave us our control again, and that we could choose, we could be free, we could have that freedom to make choices and live independently. And just as a last thought, it's no coincidence that the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, in his commentary on the Haggadah, says that what's so special about these four things, that not just that it's Hashem's giving us control back, but all four of these things happened to Klal Yisrael as a nation when we left Mitzrayim. All right, think about it. We crossed over the water, Kriyas Yamsuf. We had to go through the desert. That was where we had to go, right after we left Mitzrayim. We were imprisoned. We were slaves in Egypt, and we were freed. We were freed from prison. And we were also saved from sickness, both because as slaves, people are very likely to get sick, but furthermore, the fact that Hashem gave machlas, right? Hashem says, "Kol ha-machla asher samti b'Mitzrayim lo asa malacha." That Hashem says, "I gave all these machlas, all these sicknesses to Mitzrayim, the makos and other types of machlas." So the fact that we kind of avoided those sicknesses in Mitzrayim, that was also, says the Gra, a way that Hashem made us as if we went from being ill to being healed. So on a national level, we experienced all four of these things. And you could really think of the Seder night as a Suda Sada, the way we started. It's thanking Hashem for not just making us a nation, but for giving us that freedom of these four aspects of the Yeshua that happened. And perhaps we could just end by sharing that, as we all know, there's a famous idea that even though we are slaves, so to speak, to Hashem, we're Avadim to Hashem, we really are B'nai Chorin. We're really celebrating the fact that we're free. As the Mishnah in Avo says, "Va'luchos ma'aseh Elokim hema," that the luchos were created by Hashem, "Va'michtav Elokim hu charos al haluchos," that the words of God were charos, which means engraved on the luchos. So the Gemara darshins, the Mishnah darshins, "Al tekrei charos el acheros." Don't read it that it was engraved; rather, read it that it was a freedom. She'ein lecha ben chorin el misha osek b'talmud Torah. Because if you have a purpose in life and you have the freedom to choose, right, with all these four things that we achieved when we left Mitzrayim, we had the freedom to choose how to live our lives. but we have the freedom to choose to be Ben Chorin and to serve Hashem through learning Torah, through understanding what Hashem wants of us in this world. And ultimately, that's what we're doing at the Seder night. And perhaps that's even what we're doing every time we say Hagomel. Even if we didn't feel so grateful for that plane ride going over the Atlantic Ocean, we didn't feel like it was such a nace that Hashem saved us, even though we do clap. I know I clap usually after a long plane ride. Some of us clap. So we do have an appreciation. But maybe it's not just about that we thank Hashem so much for saving me for this plane ride. But we're thanking Hashem for going over the water, reminding us to that original going over the water. We're connecting back to that national Yeshua, to that initial salvation that we all had when we left Mitzrayim, of going over the water, going through the Midbar, getting freed from prison, and getting healed from our ailments. We should all be zocha to feel the Yeshua, to feel this salvation this Seder night. And we should all the cholim should have a full refuah shleima in Yeshua b'karov. Chag kasher v'sameach.